sermonette falls into the difficult scripture category. On the subject of wine, the 19th century poet John Keats said this. He said, "Oh, for a draught of vintage that hath been cooled a long age in the deep delved earth." As many people, ancient and modern, eloquent on the subject of drinking and of alcoholic beverages. Here's a few quotes that illustrate that there are a great diversity of viewpoints on this subject of alcohol. And let's start off with some humorous ones. Everybody knows the old actor W.C. Fields. And a couple of quotes. One says, "I cook with wine. Sometimes I even add it to the food." And then he said, "A woman once drove me to drink, and I never even had the courtesy to thank her." The author, Robert A. Heinlein, said this. He said, "Be wary of strong drink. It can make you shoot at tax collectors and miss." Herman Melville, who wrote about the great white whale, Moby Dick, he said, "It's better to sleep with a sober cannibal than with a drunken Christian." And the well-known statesman, Sir Winston Churchill, said this. He said, "I have taken more good from alcohol than alcohol has taken from me." And when he was accused of being drunk one time by, I believe, a reporter, he answered her, he said, "I may be drunk, miss, but in the morning I will be sober and you will still be ugly." On a more serious note, George Bernard Shaw, the Irish playwright, said this. He said, "Alcohol is the anesthesia by which we endure the operation of life." And Robert E. Lee, the general-in-chief of the Confederate armies in the American Civil War, said this. He said, "My experience through life has convinced me that while moderation and temperance in all things are commendable and beneficial, abstinence from spirituous liquors is the best safeguard of morals and health." So General Lee's viewpoint on abstinence actually follows the same line as many professing Christian denominations. And they claim that the Bible teaches that any consumption of alcoholic beverages is a sin. It's true that there are some scriptures that seem to teach total abstinence, and here is an example. Please turn to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, beginning at verse 19. "Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags." Please jump down to verse 29. "Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has babbling? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine." Verse 31. Look you not upon the wine when it is red, when it gives its color in the cup, when it moves itself aright. At the last it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. Your eyes shall behold strange women, and your heart shall utter perverse things. Yes, you shall be as he that lies down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lies upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shall you say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again." So these verses are quoted by many who believe that it's wrong to drink alcoholic beverages. And they claim that this passage proves that it's wrong to drink wine, and by extension, to drink any drink containing alcohol. But what about it, brethren? Are they correct? Let's look into the subject. The plain statement to start off with there is that Proverbs 23 absolutely does not say that it is wrong to drink wine. Does not say. What then does it say? Proverbs 23 tells us this. It gives us these warnings. In verse 32, it says that improper use of wine is as poisonous as a snake's venom. Verse 20 said that we should avoid company with wine bibbers. Verse 21 says that poverty is just one potential negative result of drunkenness. And in verses 29, 33, 34, and 35, it lists other potential negative results of drunkenness. And they include woe, sorrow, contentions, complaints, bloodshot eyes, hallucinations, nightmares, addiction, lack of self-control, and body injuries without apparent cause, because the cause has been forgotten because the person is in a drunken stupor. And finally, in verse 30, it says that we should not tarry long at the wine. And this last warning is a little bit strange, but we know that a person who tarries long at the wine on a regular basis can easily become a wine bibber, and the modern term for a wine bibber is merely a drunkard. Please turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verses 19 and 21. Galatians 5 and verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, and down to 21, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So through the Apostle Paul, God warns us that drunkenness is a work of the flesh and that no drunkard will inherit the kingdom of God. Let's go back into Proverbs chapter 23, and verse 31 says this. It says, verse 31 basically advises God's people not to look upon the wine when it is red, when it gives its color in the cup, and when it moves itself aright. What does that mean? Well, looking into it, we find that these terms refer to wine when it's in its fermentation process, before it's fully fermented. If we look on it, and looking on it leads to drinking it, then we can get sick and possibly even die. There are instances recorded that winery workers have been asphyxiated merely when they've been looking over the wine vats, looking on the fermenting wine, and have been overcome by poisonous gases, and in some cases falling into the vats and drowning. When I read that, I thought to myself, what a way to die. Like Campbellton Loch, I wish you were whiskey, I would drink you dry, you know. But that's, it seems like a joke, but just recently, right here in BC, there was such an accident. And I read this accident alert in the Workmen's Compensation Board Health and Safety Centre, is what it says. The owner of a winery collapsed while taking a sample from a wine fermentation tank. A second person entered the tank in an attempt to rescue him, and he also collapsed. They could not be revived, so both men died. And again, that was right here in BC. However, God's word shows that it is perfectly all right, it's perfectly okay to drink wine in moderation. And I'll give you these scriptures here, because I don't really have time to go into all of them. But In Genesis chapter 14, we read that Melchizedek, who we believe was actually Christ himself, brought wine to his meeting with Abraham, and that they drank wine together. In Genesis chapter 27, when Isaac was giving a blessing to his son Jacob, who we thought was Esau, but they drank wine together, and part of the blessing that Isaac asked was for plenty of wine to come upon his sons, and he considered that to be a blessing from God. Now, if God forbade it, if God said that wine was evil, would he even bother asking for that from God as a blessing? Surely he wouldn't. God, in his promise, when he was given the obedience, the blessing and cursing chapters, that he promised the Israelites, one of the blessings for obedience would be much wine. You can read that in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and Deuteronomy chapter 33. Conversely, God promised and warned the Israelites that one of the punishments and one of the curses for disobedience, that he would take their wine away and that he would take their vineyards away. That's in Deuteronomy chapter 28. In Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, time and time again, when God is telling the Israelites how to give physical offerings, then in the drink offerings were almost always of wine. God commanded Israel to tithe of their wine in Deuteronomy chapter 18. And in chapter 14, when he was telling the Israelites how to keep the feast, then he included wine and other strong drink that they could enjoy at the Feast of Tabernacles. What about in the New Testament? Did God change his mind when Jesus Christ was born or when Jesus Christ died? No. As we've already said, it's certainly true, and it comes out throughout the New Testament, that drunkenness and excess of alcohol is clearly condemned in many scriptures throughout the Old and New Testaments. But Jesus and the apostles throughout the New Testament mention wine and mention other types of strong drink over and over again, but not in one place do they say that moderate consumption of alcoholic beverages is wrong. Some verses prove that Jesus Christ himself enjoyed wine. Please turn to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 and verses 33 and 34. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he has a devil or a demon. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine-bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Again, if we know that obviously that Jesus Christ drank wine from this, they wouldn't call him a wine-bibber if he didn't drink wine. I'll just read Matthew 26:29 to you, because we discussed it a couple of weeks ago before the Passover, with regards to what Jesus Christ said at the last Passover, where he said, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So we knew that he drank wine on that Passover night, and we know that he will drink wine once again when he returns in the kingdom. The very first miracle that Jesus performed was at a wedding in Cana, where he turned water into wine, and we can read about that in John chapter 2. And there's evidence here in John chapter 2 where Jesus Christ actually knew what the qualities of a good wine were. He knew he was something of an expert on good wine. Some people will argue that the water was changed not into wine, but into unfermented grape juice. But when we look into the Greek for the word wine in John chapter 2, it means, the word is oinos, and it definitely means fermented wine. The final scripture, please turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 5. These are just a couple of different scriptures, and there's so many of them that you can look up just to see what Paul, the Apostle Paul, said on the subject. And in 1 Timothy, in chapter 3, Timothy, in two places in chapter 3, condemned excessive alcohol consumption. Paul condemns excessive alcohol consumption. But in the same letter, and a couple of chapters later, he says in verse 23 of chapter 5, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. So it seems that Timothy had some chronic stomach problem, and Paul advised that he drink some wine to help ease those problems. So when we look at the evidence throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, brethren, we see that God gave us wine and other alcoholic beverages so that we may learn to use them properly. We can develop character by properly exercising wisdom and self-control with alcoholic beverages. And the proper use of these drinks is a great responsibility, but it is only the wrong and excessive use that is sin.